The UK's cultivated meat sandbox will deliver two risk assessments. Neither is an approval. The FSA's £1.6 million programme runs to February 2027, with one headline KPI: complete risk assessments for two cell-cultivated product applications. A risk assessment is not market authorisation, and no cell-cultivated product has yet been authorised for human consumption in Great Britain. From LifeMate Tech: the Food Standards Agency's regulatory sandbox for cell-cultivated products is the most frequently cited evidence that Britain intends to be a serious jurisdiction for cultivated meat. It has a budget, a schedule, named industry participants, and unusually for a regulatory programme, a published KPI. That KPI is worth reading in the FSA's own words, from its June 2026 board paper. One of the KPIs for the programme agreed with DCIT is the completion of at least two CCP risk assessments within the sandbox period. Two risk assessments by February 2027 for £1.6 million, and a completed risk assessment does not let anyone sell anything. It is a scientific opinion that feeds into a recommendation, that feeds into a ministerial decision. That distinction is the whole of this article, because it is routinely collapsed in coverage of the programme, and companies sequencing their launch markets are making decisions on the collapsed version. What the programme is. Item duration detail. Started March 2025, finishes February 2027. Source: FSA BC 26/03/08. Item: sponsor detail, Department for Science, Innovation and Technology. Source: FSA BC 26/03/08. Item: funding detail, £1.6 million. Source: FoodBev Media, October 2024. Item: delivered by detail, FSA and Food Standards Scotland jointly. Source: FSA BC 26/03/08. Item: headline KPI detail, completion of at least two CCP risk assessments within the sandbox period. Source: CCP Sandbox Progress Report. Item: validation detail, two applications completed validation in June 2025. Source: CCP Sandbox Progress Report. Item: risk assessment detail, both reviewed by the ACCMP in February 2026. Source: FSA BC 26/03/08. Item: scope detail, foods cultivated from animal cells. Source: FSA guidance. Item: application fee detail, non-source novel foods authorization guidance. The March 2026 board paper sets out the shape of the programme. The sandbox is a two-year programme sponsored by the Department of Science, Innovation and Technology, DCIT. And it started in March 2025 and will finish in February 2027. The £1.6 million figure was reported at launch, and we have not found it restated in the FSA's own currently published papers. It is sourced here to FoodBev Media's October 2024 report rather than to a primary document. The progress report is direct about the deliverable. We are on track to meet our aim to complete risk assessments for two cultivated cell-based product, CCP applications by the end of the programme in February 2027. Risk assessment is not authorisation. Here is the sequence in Great Britain, assembled from the FSA's own guidance and board papers. Step 1, dossier submitted via the regulated products portal. Who does it? Applicant status, no fee. Step 2, validation confirming the dossier is complete. Who does it? FSA/FSS status, two CCP applications passed this in June 2025. Step 3, risk assessment. Who does it? FSA/FSS risk assessors and the Independent Advisory Committee on Novel Foods and Processes, ACNF. Status: this is where the sandbox KPI stops. Step 4, risk management consideration and recommendation to ministers. Who does it? FSA/FSS status not covered by the KPI. Step 5, ministerial decision. Who does it? Ministers in England and Wales on FSA advice, ministers in Scotland on FSS advice. Status not covered by the KPI. Step 6, entry into effect and publication in the official register. Who does it? FSA/FSS maintain the register status. Since 1 April 2025, this is the final legal step. Step 3 sits with an existing independent committee rather than with the sandbox itself, and the March 2026 board paper records that both validated applications reached it. The validated applications have now progressed into the risk assessment stage. They were reviewed by our advisory committee, the Advisory Committee of Novel Foods and Processes, ACNFP. in February 2026. What happened at that meeting is the most current signal available on how far along these applications really are. The committee assessed the committee advice document and undertook a formal hazard identification of each application. And the important part, this process highlighted any critical data gaps and is supporting the development of targeted information requests that will be issued to applicants. In other words, 8 months after validation, the assessment has identified gaps and the regulator is going back to the applicants for more evidence. That is a normal and healthy step. It is also, in every regulatory regime, the step that consumes calendar time. And the government's own explainer sets out steps 5 and 6. Ministers in England and Wales decide whether to authorise regulated products based on FSA advice. Ministers in Scotland decide whether to authorise regulated products based on FSS advice. Practical consequence: if you are modelling a UK launch date, the sandbox KPI gives you a date for step 3 only, and only for 2 unnamed applications. Steps 4 to 6 have no published timetable attached to them at all. Credit where it is due, the C requirement is gone. One genuine acceleration has already happened, and it should not be lost in the scepticism. Until 1 April 2025, a ministerial decision was not the end of the process. The government's explainer describes the old position. Under the previous authorisation process, after a ministerial decision, NC was required before products could be placed on the market, prolonging the end-to-end approval process. Contemporaneous reporting put the cost of that step at 3 to 6 months. The food and feed, regulated products. Amendment, revocation, consequential and transitional provision, Regulations 2025 removed it. Authorizations now take effect on the ministerial decision and are published in a register. That is a real structural improvement to the tail of the process, and it is the kind of reform that compounds across every future application. The queue behind the sandbox. The sandbox is a 2-year, £1.6 million intervention sitting on top of a system with a substantial backlog. Reporting in March 2024 set out the FSA's own account of its regulated products caseload. The current caseload in the RPS is 450 applications that have been submitted since January 1, 2021, following the end of the Brexit transition period. FSA has only completed 63 applications to date, taking on average approximately 2.5 years from the submission of an application to completion. Two important caveats on that figure. It covers all regulated product regimes, novel foods, additives, enzymes, flavourings, food contact materials, not novel foods alone, and we could not find a novel foods only breakdown published by the FSA. And it is a 2024 snapshot, taken before the April 2025 reform. The gap it describes, though, is corroborated by the FSA's own framing elsewhere. The FSA has frequently stated that its regulated product system is under-resourced, with authorizations of new food and animal feed taking an average of 2.5 years, although the statutory aim is 17 months. The sandbox's own board paper adopts that same 2.5-year figure as the benchmark it hopes to move toward for CCPs, describing the goal as swifter, better-informed risk assessments and recommendations to ministers than are currently possible, reaching a typical timeframe for routine, non-complex application of approximately 2.5 years. Read that carefully. The aspiration is to bring cell-cultivated products, a genuinely novel category, down to the timeframe that currently applies to routine applications, and that timeframe is itself roughly 75% longer than the statutory aim. Practical consequence: treat 2.5 years from validation as the planning assumption for a UK CCP dossier, not the sandbox's 2-year programme length. The programme end date and an individual application's end date are not the same thing. Who is actually in the queue? There is a distinction here that trips up a lot of coverage. Participating in the sandbox and having an application in the system are different things. The March 2026 board paper identifies Blue Nalu, Hoxton Farms and Rosslyn Technologies as sandbox participant companies, quoting each on the business support service. Trade reporting and company statements add Gurmi, Vital Meat, Mosa Meat and Vow to the cohort. The full participant list was published in the FSA's March 2025 board paper, which is no longer available at its original address. We have therefore named only those companies confirmed in a currently reachable source. Two applications had passed validation as of June 2025, and the FSA's own document does not name them. Gurmi named itself. Co-founder and chief executive Nicholas Morin-Forrest said the company was the world's first cell-cultivated meat company to have its application validated in Great Britain by the Food Standards Agency and Food Standards Scotland, officially marking the start of our regulatory assessment process. Trade coverage identifies Vital Meat as the other. The two have since merged into a single entity, Parama. Aleph Farms submitted the first CCP dossier in the UK in August 2023, before the sandbox existed. Mosa Meat submitted in May 2025. Hoxton Farms was still preparing its dossier as of June 2025. Vow was expected to submit later that year. We found no evidence either way that Rosslyn Technologies or Blue Nalu have submitted applications. Being a sandbox participant and having a dossier in the system are different things, and the board papers keep them separate. Meanwhile, the only cell-cultivated product actually cleared for sale in Great Britain remains Meatly's cultivated chicken for pet food, approved in July 2024 through a different route entirely. An Animal and Plant Health Agency decision, under feed rules rather than the human novel foods process. We look separately at what that company has and has not disclosed about its costs. For human food, the count is zero. What was published in July 2026? On 10 July 2026, the FSA and FSS published four documents, the second wave from the sandbox, food business hygiene requirements for cell-cultivated products, applying general food law and hygiene regulations to CCP production, supplementary guidance on identity, production and microbiology, how to characterize cell lines, describe production processes and manage microbiological hazards, improving your cell-cultivated product application, addressing the most common reasons applications face delays or requests for further information, novel food taste trials supplementary information, responsibilities when conducting taste trials, supporting 2025 guidance. The first wave, published around December 2025, covered classification within existing meat and products of animal origin frameworks, HACC principles, and allergenicity and nutrition information requirements. Dr. Thomas Vincent, the FSA's Deputy Director of Innovation, framed the purpose. Consumer safety is non-negotiable, and these documents are ultimately about reducing barriers for emerging food technologies without compromising on safety standards. Document 3 is the one worth reading if you are preparing a dossier anywhere, not just in Britain. A regulator publishing the reasons applications get sent back is unusual, and the failure modes are unlikely to be UK-specific. Practical consequence. For anyone with a live dossier in another jurisdiction, these four documents are free intelligence on what a competent regulator considers an incomplete CCP safety case. The wildcard nobody has priced. There is a live risk to all of this that has nothing to do with the sandbox's execution. Green Queen reported in July 2026 that the FSA had written to approximately 600 approval holders and businesses warning that a prospective UK to EU sanitary and phytosanitary agreement could void UK novel food authorisations and push applicants back onto the EU's approval track. We have not read that letter, and the underlying reporting is the grocer's rather than ours. This is one level removed from a primary source and should be treated as such. If it is accurate, the implication is uncomfortable for anyone using the UK as a launch market. We have documented what the EU pathway looks like. Zero precision fermented proteins approved, dossiers dying in validation after 2 years. A UK authorisation that converts into an EU track application is worth considerably less than a UK authorisation that does not, and that is not a risk any published launch sequencing analysis, including ours, has so far priced in. The counter-argument. The case for the sandbox is stronger than the KPI makes it look. Two risk assessments is a deliberately conservative target for a programme whose real output is institutional knowledge. The FSA and FSS had never assessed a cell-cultivated product. The sandbox is how they build the capability, and the guidance documents are the durable artefact. Once the framework exists, subsequent applications are cheaper to assess than the first two, which is exactly the argument the industry itself makes. Industry participants have said as much on the record. Hoxton Farms co-founder Ed Steele told Food Navigator the sandbox has already proven to be a major asset, giving us a much clearer view of the FSA's expectations and how to best prepare our dossier. Mosa Meat credited pre-submission consultations for its May 2025 filing. and £1.6 million is a small number to be sniffy about. It is roughly the cost of one senior regulatory team for 2 years, and it bought a published framework, 2 validated dossiers and 8 companies worth of direct engagement. But the industry's own critique is that the sandbox does not fix the thing that actually binds. Linus Pardo of GFI Europe put it plainly when the programme was announced. The sandbox is a welcome measure, but to fully realise the potential of cultivated meat, ministers must also provide a long-term boost to the FSA's budget, enabling regulators to complete robust risk assessments within statutory timeframes. GFI Europe also said that while the sandbox is a step forward, it is not a solution to the long-term funding challenges facing the FSA's regulated product service. That is the honest position. The sandbox is a good programme correctly scoped to what its budget can buy. It is not a route to market, and the 450 application queue behind it has not gone anywhere. What we could not establish. A novel foods-only count of Great Britain authorisations since January 2021. The 450 submitted / 63 completed figures cover all regulated product regimes. We could not find an FSA-published novel food-specific tally. Any updated caseload figure, post-dating the April 2025 reform. The reforms page does not give a post-reform completion count. The identity of the 2 validated applications from an FSA source. The FSA's own document does not name them. The identification of Gourmet and Vital Meat comes from the company and from trade coverage. A cumulative count of businesses using the business support service. The only quantified engagement in the progress report is the first request, received in July 2025, whether a discrete public consultation stage exists for individual product dossiers. A secondary regulatory intelligence source describes one. The FSA's own guidance and reforms pages do not mention it, and we think it may be a conflation with the FSA's 2024 policy consultation. We have not included it in the sequence table above. The contents of the FSA's letter to approval holders about the EU SPS agreement. Our source for it is Green Queen reporting the grocer, whether Rosslyn Technologies or Blue Nalu have submitted dossiers. The £1.6 million funding figure from a primary FSA source. It is consistently reported and we have no reason to doubt it, but we could not locate it in the FSA board papers currently published. The March 2025 paper that carried it has moved. It is cited here to trade reporting.
What to watch?
Whether the 2 risk assessments complete by February 2027. As of the March 2026 board paper, the FSA says it is currently on track to meet our KPI of completing 2 risk assessments by February 2027, with targeted information requests still to be issued to the applicants. The more important question is the one nobody can answer yet: how long the gap is between a completed risk assessment and a ministerial decision. That gap is currently unmeasured because no CCP has reached it. What happens to the programme in March 2027? The sandbox has a defined end date and a DSIT funding line that ends with it. The board papers schedule a sandbox review for January 2027. Whether the capability is retained or dissipates is a budget question, not a science one. The UK to EU SPS negotiation. If UK novel food authorisations become contingent on EU alignment, the entire calculation for launching in Britain changes, and the sandbox's output changes value with it. Whether any CCP is authorised for human consumption in Great Britain at all. As of this writing, the number is 0. 4 years into the post-Brexit regime, and 3 years after the first dossier was filed.